Scripture this morning is from Romans 12, verses 1 through 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually, we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering, and persevere in prayer.
Well, I want to tell you the story of two different churches today. Two churches that might help us to see the relevance of a very particular part of this passage from Romans 12. It's a message that I think is especially relevant for us as we get ready for this renewal process. It's like this. No Hope Church was beginning a renewal process. They had everything perfectly prepared. They had begun by reading Romans 12 for guidance, and when its first two verses encouraged them to renew themselves by testing and discerning the will of God, they immediately implemented plans to do so. They hired the right facilitator. They let everyone in the congregation know about it. They checked off the boxes marked provide child care, plan out meals, and set up rides. And even when their facilitator had trouble with, say, getting a visa at the border or something like that, they patiently worked it out. And before long, their first renewal workshop came. During that weekend, they patiently listened attentively to everything their facilitator presented. And they patiently talked with one another about all the things that their facilitator asked them to talk about. And along their way, they covered it all in prayer, asking God to show them where God was leading them next. When the process was done, their reference group shared with them the many significant insights that had been revealed along the way, as well as what seemed to be their main idea for what the congregation might be called to next. In particular, through their renewal process, they had noticed that although they'd never stopped to really recognize it, their congregation had long been attracting more and more people from three local group homes for folks with developmental delays. And as they observed that for the first time, they remembered the way in which the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th verses of Romans 12 had encouraged them to recognize and incorporate the many gifts in their midst. So they came to the conclusion that God might be calling them to deepen that part of their ministry and identity that involved folks with developmental disabilities. They came up with a number of really good ideas for it too. They would buy a new bus that would help to transport even more of the folks from the local group homes to church on Sundays. They would adjust their picture of worship so that it would be more inclusive. For example, they'd switch to the easy-to-read translation of the Bible for their services. And they would open special music opportunities to anyone who showed a passion for trying it, not just the most musically gifted in their midst. And instead of writing a sermon for the first Sunday of each month, their pastor would sit down with a group of folks with a full spectrum of intellectual abilities and write a short play with them that reflected the themes that they had noticed together when they read that week's passage. And then, on Sunday, the group that came up with the skit, with the sketch, would perform that play as that day's message. All along the way, the congregation worked at their plan patiently and prayerfully. But there was one small problem. One small, but actually very significant problem. No Hope Church had, well, no hope. While they labored away patiently and prayerfully to renew themselves, most of them were only doing so because their pastor had asked them to. "You know," they said to one another when the pastor was out of earshot, "this will never work. But if Pastor Lucy wants to do it, I guess we'll go along with it. We don't want to disappoint her." And so in time, their renewal failed to be much of a renewal at all. The congregant who had volunteered to drive the bus to the group home did so dutifully, and even though he initially greeted the residents with a big smile whenever he picked them up, he mostly just began to notice whenever somebody wasn't there to be picked up. Instead of smiling at the folks who did get on the bus, he looked past them to see who wasn't there that day. All the while thinking, "I knew we'd never get enough people to justify the expense of this bus." And in time, he was right. Fewer and fewer residents looked forward to taking the bus with him. On top of that, the congregation began to dread special music time in church. Instead of noticing how often they were surprised at how moving the contributors' songs were, they mostly just sat there tensely, waiting to cringe at the next possible false start, missed notes, or songs sung too far away from the microphone. And before long, fewer and fewer of those who'd been passionate to perform special music were willing to perform anymore. And lest you think we'll let the pastor off the hook in this parable, even the pastor of No Hope struggled with having no hope. Each month that she sat with the group she'd called together to write a play for that week's passage, she went in quietly telling herself, "There's no way this group actually knows what this passage is about. I'll sit there and make them feel heard for as little a time as possible, but I've got to find a way to quickly get to the teaching them what my seminary professor said this was really about." And before long, fewer and fewer members showed up for these planning sessions too, until eventually, No Hope mostly had the very same people there it had had before the renewal process, all doing the very same things they had always done before the renewal process, just in a more disappointed way. Which is to say, despite having patiently, meticulously, even prayerfully checked every box on their list of what to do to achieve renewal, in the end, they didn't feel very renewed after all. Story number two. No Patience Church had begun their own renewal process. They too had begun by reading Romans 12 for guidance, and so they too efficiently crafted a plan for testing and discerning the will of God. They too quickly hired a good facilitator, promptly finished everything needed to prepare for their renewal weekends, and enthusiastically showed up for each one. They participated in each of their facilitator's sessions, eagerly encouraging her on to the next point and quickly speaking up to share their ideas during breakout sessions. When their facilitator taught them a prayer practice to try, they tried it immediately, and they spoke boldly and freely about what they were sensing from God as they listened. When the process was done, their reference group energetically shared with them the many significant insights they'd had about themselves, as well as key ideas about what they might be called to next. Without hesitation, bursting with hope, they immediately chose the first idea that was suggested to them. They had noticed that although they'd never stopped to notice it before, their congregation had become a magnet for teenagers in their community who had no previous connection to church, but who simply seemed to feel safe there. And so soon they heard this observation and they knew for certain that this was what God was calling them to make the center of their renewal. They could already picture their church brimming with new teenagers, full of life. Their pastor even reminded them, as pastors tend to do, that this was the kind of thing they'd been reading about in Romans 12 to begin their process. Verses 3 to 8 had said to them, "Recognize all the unique gifts among them." And their youth were clearly a very unique gift that had much to share with them. And so they planned accordingly. They came up with a number of good ideas, too. Two of their members would volunteer to be young life leaders at the local high school so that they could meet teenagers looking for churches and invite them to church. They would make their most musically gifted youth group member one of their regular song leaders, empowering them to canvass the youth for what kind of worship songs they preferred, and then incorporate those regularly into the Sundays that the youth group member led worship. The pastor enthusiastically suggested that they switch to using the Messages paraphrases for scripture reading, so that each week's reading could be read in the most youthful, even relevant-sounding language possible. He wasn't a huge fan of that particular translation, but it was a sacrifice he was willing to make for the young people. And instead of writing a traditional sermon for the first Sunday of the month, the pastor would show a clip from the youth's favorite secular TV shows or movies and then explore what faith-related themes and questions that clip could open up for Christians to explore as followers of Jesus. And all along the way, the congregation was full of hope. At fellowship potlucks, they had already begun to dream about all of the young people who would join them in the next few months, who would become young adults in the next few years, and then have young children and fill them to the bursting point with a new future. But there was one small problem. No patience, church, had no patience. And so in time, their renewal failed to be much of a renewal at all. The volunteers who started providing leadership at the local high school's Young Life group met lots of new local teens. But each time they met a teen, they practically begged them to come to their congregation. Before long, it seemed like the teens they had met were kind of avoiding them. On top of that, the youth group member they put in charge of song leading introduced some songs that the congregation struggled to sing well. And so, after just two Sundays of leading these new songs, one of the adults took the youth group member aside and said that maybe it would be best if they took over in the actual teaching of the new song. And so the congregation started to sing those songs with more enthusiasm, but maybe not in the way that the youth actually recognized them. And the youth seemed to just go back to being spectators during singing time. And lest you think I'll let the pastor off the hook in this parable, it also quickly became clear that the youth seemed no more drawn in by the scripture reading when it came from the Message as when it came from the KJV. And so the pastor quickly declared that to be a failed experiment too, without ever taking the time to explore why the youth seemed to be so confused about scripture in the first place. And before long, even though some in the congregation were enjoying the pastor's meditations on the TV shows and movie clips, others found them kind of confusing, maybe irreverent, and began to complain that this was a waste of time if there weren't any new youth here in the last month to appreciate them. And so, before long, No Patience Church was once again doing all the same things it had always done before the renewal process, just in a more disappointed way. Which is to say, despite having patiently, meticulously, even prayerfully checked every box on their list of what to do in order to find renewal in the end, they didn't feel very renewed at all either. So, with this parable of caution in hand, what might we, as a different church, want to learn from it? In addition to what No Hope Church and No Patience Church found in Romans 2 to guide their renewal process, what else might we want to make sure to notice in Romans 12, just 3 weeks before our first renewal workshop. Is there something they were missing? Well, I certainly hope that we notice that the first few verses of Romans 12 affirm what we're already doing, setting up a renewal process for us to discern what is the will of God, which is always good and acceptable and perfect for us. And the next 5 verses are another good reminder that our renewal should help us to better recognize the gifts that the people among us are already bringing to our family, especially the gifts that are right under our noses that we maybe haven't noticed. Kind of like when the first church in our parable realized that their members with developmental disabilities might actually be full of the gifts that could bring them renewal. In fact, I use that example because it's something our renewal facilitator, Betty, shared with our renewal reference group. She worked with a church for whom that was one of their big discoveries. But these were things that No Hope and No Patience did well at noticing, aren't they? And so we rightfully must ask, is there something that they weren't noticing that we should make sure to notice? And so, glad to tell you that it's probably already pretty obvious what it is and what we can take. And it's just this one little verse that comes up shortly after those first 8 verses that I've already mentioned. They're the 6 little words that begin verse 12 that I really find myself lingering over as I think about what will happen after our renewal process is over and our next steps have begun. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Be full of hope. Be patient during trials. Those of you who enjoy cooking, and by that I include those of you who enjoy someone else's cooking, there are just some people out there who we know that have a secret ingredient or two in their best dish, don't they? I mean, you go to their houses and you have, say, meatloaf, and you think, wow, I guess meatloaf is delicious. I should eat meatloaf every day. So the next day, you go home and you look up your meatloaf recipe and you make it and you eat it and you think, nope, not gonna have meatloaf every day. Why? Because you just know that that fantastic cook who made you that first meatloaf had some secret ingredients hiding in there, didn't they? And now you have to decide whether or not you're going to ask them if they'll give those to you. Well, in Paul's recipe for renewal, 2 of the ingredients that so many of us can miss so often are actually right there in the recipe. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in trials. Friends, we can check off every box that anybody could ever come up with to make a list to go through in a discernment process for renewal. Many of those boxes are very important part of the plan, and they're equally important to check off. But for our recipe for renewal, I simply want to say this today. Let's also make sure we don't forget the 2 ingredients that can make a renewal process end up feeling like an underwhelming meatloaf. Let's not forget the 2 secret, but actually, if you're reading Paul closely, you're not so secret ingredients of hope and patience. Because whatever we hear from God in our renewal process and whatever we decide are our good and acceptable next steps, we'll need those secret ingredients. Because whatever it is we find ourselves doing next, we'll need to marinate it in the excitement of hope, of looking forward to amazing possibilities opening up in front of us, and we'll need to pepper it again and again with patience, recognizing that it may not always feel like what we're hoping for is coming fast enough or at all. Remaining open, in fact, to the idea that God may be picturing different outcomes for us than we were picturing when we started with that next step. A renewal meatloaf that tastes fine, I guess, or a renewal meatloaf that tastes like a true family recipe for the ages. The difference just might be these two no longer secret ingredients, hope and patience. In 3 weeks, let's arrive here with as much of these ingredients as we can round up in our cupboards at home. I will hope to see you here with them, but I'll try to be patient in the meantime.